Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
Hey, friends that are watching this on the video, then you're the advanced ones because I started putting my podcast on video this year because that's what you people like. But my audio listeners, y'all can come over and look at the video too, and you can see Janaea Kennedy. So you're seeing one of the leaders in Georgia real estate in the Atlanta market. In specific, Janaea, what suburbs do you cover like in your perfect world? I know you have to go all over the place like I do in Charlotte, but what's your dream spot?
Just Metro Atlanta. So City of Atlanta, of course, Buckhead, Cobb County, DeKalb County, you name it.
I mean, 85 and 20, right?
Right. Inside the perimeter, outside the perimeter.
But we know she likes Buckhead the best because we like the high price point. I mean, let's just be honest.
I slipped that one in, but yeah.
I mean, but you didn't list Peachtree. And I went down there one time and I was like, these people drive wild on those golf carts. They're not just old people meandering.
I love
cut you down.
I love Peachtree City just because they ride their golf carts to the grocery store.
We're not old enough for that yet, but I'm looking forward to it. So don't you have to be 55 to live in Peachtree?
No.
Oh, I thought it was age restricted.
No, anyone can live there.
See, I've learned something new today already. And this, hey, by the way, friends, that's why you hire a real estate expert when you go to a market, because apps don't know all the ins and outs that a local realtor does. And in addition to being a realtor, Janaea is currently the president of her local realtor association. So thank you for doing that yeoman's job. And if you're a normal person watching and listening to the podcast, if you've been listening for the whole 4 years, you've already met some leaders and you know a little bit about how this works. If you're not somebody, well, welcome. We're glad you're here. But you should know that in realtor world, we do a lot of stuff together, even though we're a bunch of little tiny micro businesses, all these independent contractors. And for us to do really good things for our communities, we get a whole lot more done when we work together, which means you need a chief cat herder. And that's exactly what your association leaders do. So Janaea doesn't get paid extra this year as a volunteer, although we could triple her usual volunteer salary because 000 is 0, but she does it for love of real estate, love of housing, love of realtors, and love of community. So with that being said, I've already told them where you are. So tell them how long you've been in real estate, maybe where you, what were you doing as a professional life before real estate? Any insights to your personal self that people should know about you?
So I am going on 20 years in real estate. In May, I celebrate 20. So I'm excited about that milestone. I can't believe it's been that long. I really started real estate thinking, oh, I'll just go and make a bunch of money and then I'll go do what I really want to do. But 20 years later, almost, I'm still here, which was, by the way, I wanted to be a producer
of what?
Commercials and music videos and just that life. But because it was such a high turnover, I was like, let me go stack money in real estate and then go do that. But
you're in the 404. That's a heavy market for that space. I mean, in all genre. So will you do it one day?
Maybe. It's never too late to be who we thought we would be, right? So
I love knowing this about you. So now I have to totally interrupt you and ask a question. So when you serve on the national level, are you serving on member and consumer communications since you have a drive and a passion for the way to get a message across? Because that's what production really is getting somebody to hear a message that somebody else created even.
No, I serve on some of our state and local communication committees, but not on a national level. So maybe when that opportunity presents itself, that's something I would want to pursue, but no.
Okay, so I love knowing this about you. So back to your story, because we love the rabbit trail in real estate, don't we?
It's easy to do. So I work on a team within our company. It's Engel & Bokers in Atlanta. Have a wonderful broker. I call myself like an education and organization volunteer junkie. Anytime there's something I can learn, I'm like signing up for it. I have right over 100 hours of CE and we only need 36. So
wait a minute, you need 36 over what time frame? Tell the public that.
Oh yes, we only need 36 hours of CE hours over 4 years.
And I do the math on that. You're thinking, oh, 100 versus 36, that's no big deal. No, she stockpiled like a decade's worth of CE.
So I know a little bit about a lot of stuff. But that's, I love it. I love to just learn. And you know, one day I'm going to pursue some of the things or go deeper on things that I really, really enjoyed. So, and then I volunteer a lot. So much so that I have learned that during this pandemic, that some things are going to come off my list, because
good for you.
Yeah, it's too much. So, but I'm a mom. I have an 11-year-old and a 14-year-old who's like ready to leave the house, and go everywhere that she can't go. But you know, hey, teenager, right? And of course I am a wife. In fact, I met my husband selling him our house. So,
oh, no way. Okay. I got to hear that story.
So yeah, he was referred to me by a coworker. He came in, I was instantly, you know, attracted to him. And at that time I worked for a company that we pulled credit. We did a lot of pre-qualifying. It was weird. Like I felt like I was a loan officer / realtor. So I knew his credit was great.
Turnkey service.
Yes, it was very turnkey until the broker started spending our money and our commission checks bounced. But that's a whole nother story. He came in, I pulled his credit, saw his income. He was very kind, you know, strong foundation. And I called him my client boyfriend behind his back. And, you know, we talked about a lot of deep things when we were looking at properties, and we went far, you know, far down into the relationship hole that I've ever gone, of course, before then. And of course, after I met him, but he would not officially date me until he closed. So,
okay, that's a really good sign that he did value the investment potential of real estate even more than the investment potential of a bride.
Yep. And I would...
Well, his credit, you knew he wasn't married, so there was no way for him to play shenanigans. There's a lot to be said for this.
Yep. And I walk, you know, I used to... You have to have him on to tell this story, but he would say how I would sashay up the stairs in front of him and... You know, I would walk out and say, oh, look at this view, or isn't this wonderful? Or I was very exaggerative, according to him. But I live in the house that he bought.
Are you serious? You also have the house?
Yep.
That's precious. All right, Mr. Kennedy, I know you're watching your bride on this or listening. She'll get you connected to me. We're having you on the show because I have to have the whole story from both viewpoints, frankly. All right, so... I love this story because you point something out there that happens in professional real estate life, and it's something nobody expects when they go to get their license. And that's that when you're selling somebody a house, whether you meant to or not, and whether you're sashaying or not, we go down these really deep conversation holes because real estate is that really odd investment that's highly emotional. And suddenly you'll be with a client, you know this, and it's, they told you everything, and it's things their parents don't know and their kids don't know, and sometimes their spouses don't know, and you're like, what to do with this? But professional realtors do what you did. You keep having the conversation, and then you compartmentalize that so you can focus on making the purchase happen correctly. And I'd love to know, why are you still in the same house that he bought as a single, Mr. Kennedy?
It's a family home, literally. It was 4 bedrooms, full basement, a bonus room that's now my office, that has been my office. And really, once he moved in and I kind of started staying over and over and over, he created an office space for me so I didn't have to drive into, you know, my main office. So it's over an acre in a cul-de-sac. So we kind of have what we need. But now that the kids are older, we would like a larger home, but it was a great home for a family. And it's funny, when he closed, the day he was moving in, I sent pizza to the house. His closing gift was a refrigerator, so he loves to tell that story. Yeah.
I bet all your clients didn't get a refrigerator to name.
I know, right? So, you know, it's a good story. It makes me smile.
All right. So in thinking about 20 years in real estate, that's a crazy story that, I mean, it's not the first time I've heard it. I love that real estate does cause deep conversations that lead to connections and stable, happy, healthy marriages with happy, healthy kids who act exactly like 11 and 14 year olds will do. And if we've learned anything during coronavirus, it's that our 14-year-olds do need their social outlets. They need their peer groups if they're going to grow and be the best version of themselves. But anyway, so in 20 years in real estate, not just volunteering, you've briefly mentioned a wild scenario with your broker. And I'm curious if you're comfortable telling that, because one thing that the public asks often is, how do we as real estate agents land with a specific brand, a specific company? And as you know, it tends to be like the very first thing you said about your England Volkers office is you have a supportive and great broker. Right. And it's not the brand as much as it is the broker with whom you affiliate. And that's what happened in your previous life. So without naming names, of course, because I know that you are the ultimate professional, tell us what happened there and how it caught you and your colleagues off guard and what it does to you financially and what it does to your families and to your businesses when you get tangled up with a broker who's not as focused on being black and white, right and wrong as they should be.
Yes, yes. So I started my career, I was working with IBM and I started real estate part-time. And so went through a few different brokerages, settled down with one, started making some money, hated IBM, sorry. I hated corporate America. And so quit and started working with this firm. They had fabulous marketing. I took significantly less commission, you know, but that was, you know, 17, 18 years ago, because they provided leads for us, lead opportunities, and it was all based upon their marketing. So we were doing great, but the broker got greedy. And so he started buying himself, you know, mansions and boats and yachts and just everything because the business was doing great. But he got in over his head and started overspending. So he was not only spending his money, he was also spending the realtor's money. So, you know, we quickly, once one or two checks bounced, we knew it was time for us to go because, you know, we worked too hard to not get paid. But they did provide us with, I mean, I think that year I probably had about 70 closings.
You closed that house because of your hard work. So you work an ungodly amount of hours to get something across the finish line. And if you're a member of the public, the way real estate works is when a commission check is issued, it's issued from the closing attorney or the escrow office, and then it goes to the broker. The broker distributes that to the agent. That's the way that it's set up with independent contractors and license laws. So we, the realtor, we're sitting at closing with you. You see the dollars leaving your side of the transaction going to the company. The company then deposits it, then pays it to the agent. And so Janaea wasn't even going to touch it until it had cleared a bank account. And so she does all the work. The work goes to the broker, and the broker does not issue a clean check to you. So what happened? Did you just have to walk away from that money? Was there legal recourse, or who protected you in that situation?
Well, fortunately, I was able to get all of my money, but there were some other agents who were, I guess it was too deep into the process, so they weren't able to recover. But yeah, we all just fleed. We went away. I started working with a different broker and never really looked back. I was able to get money, but not everybody did.
Which means that as an agent, if you're looking to affiliate with a broker, it's a fair question to ask them to know how clean their accounts are. Have they had their trust accounts balanced? Are they in compliance? Because you need to know that they've got a commission account and they've got a different account for the brokerage so that you're protected. And then as a member of the public, you want to talk about going beyond that list of questions that Dave Ramsey gives y'all to ask when you're interviewing agents. Why not ask your agent that you're interviewing, why did you affiliate with that brokerage? And is that brokerage operating ethically and legally? Because you're the one too that gets tangled up in litigious matters because, I mean, it could be a really big mess. And I mean, think about questions nobody asked, Janae. I mean, when you first get in, you kind of land where you land because you don't know what to ask.
Right.
You don't know who to go to. So when somebody comes to you now, because I know that you have the, I know how you love on people. And so I'm sure that your past clients have said, I want to do real estate. Or you've had a friend who said, I want to be like you. How do you direct them in getting started? And what's the biggest piece of advice you give them besides it's going to be hard? Because we know that every realtor is smart enough to say, it's going to be hard, but it can be rewarding. So what do you tell them beyond that?
So that is so funny because so many of my past clients say that to me.
Of course they do. They love you.
So I always tell them, I give them, you know, recommendations of real estate schools that they could go to, instructors and or schools that I have confidence in.
How do you pick that school? You're an education junkie. What makes a good school?
The teachers and the content, you know, and is it relevant? Is it good information that I can use? And then just the dynamics of the instructor. I love great instructors. I'm drawn to them. I have some favorites. So, and you're one of them. But I always tell them to start telling people now that they're into real estate, even if they are, you know, not officially licensed, because they want to start getting their name out. I tell them about, you know, interviewing a broker, making sure that they're going to provide training or have training opportunities for new agents specifically, because not all brokerages are set up to handle new agents. So you want to have that conversation. I like to tell them, especially once they get licensed, start learning the market, learn everything that you can learn, find some cool investment opportunities or some properties that you can just speak to when you're having conversations with the public. And so, you know, you can just tell them, oh, I know about this property. I saw it the other day, you know, and that's because you go out and you go to these agent opens and you look at the houses and just really learn the market. So when you do have a client, you can say, oh yeah, I know about this property over here or this neighborhood or this investment because you've been studying. So I'd share with them a few little strategies that can help them get started.
All right, guys, if y'all didn't like bookmark that little section, you need to bookmark it, go back and listen again, because that's advice you won't get from almost anybody else in the business, because that's exactly what gets people up and running quickly and makes you successful sooner is the knowledge, not just of what the law says, but the knowledge of what your market holds, and especially that investment side. Janae, you're the first person I've ever talked to that mentions investment to new realtors, because usually we think of that as an experienced thing. And as we know, many people get into it because they're intrigued by investment real estate. And that's how many people can take their own financial foundation and go and really explode the opportunities outside of what anybody else told them. You can do real estate investing. But all right, so we've rambled down several different things. Now, obviously, y'all can already guess we know each other from an educational background because we both believe in the highest level of realtor education. So that's where we got to know each other. But outside of that, so you sell houses, right? It's how you pay the bills. It's how, I mean, your husband's probably like mine, refers to us as the sugar mamas. And we're totally good with that moniker because we're glad to be successful at real estate. So 20 years dealing with Atlanta, wildly big, sprawled out metro market. They only complain about traffic because Atlanta is widely big geographically, kind of like Charlotte is. We see things that we never thought we would see in pre-licensing class or in the educational classes where everything sounds really normal. And we know normal is ha 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 in real estate. If somebody had to ask you, tell me the one thing you can't believe it happened. You can't believe you saw it. I'd love to know your one little story. What is it? Besides falling in love, that's precious. And totally, Mr. Kennedy, you're coming on the show. Don't forget. Don't think I forgot that.
Oh gosh, I've been struggling with the one, because I mean, I've fallen down stairs while showing property from the top to the bottom. And, you know, I've walked in on someone naked while showing property. I would say probably the craziest thing, well, let's go with this one. New construction. Okay. I was working with a client, a couple, and they were excited about relocating to Atlanta. The husband was dead set on purchasing this new construction property in this neighborhood that he just loved. And so, you know, this was like a 9-month process. So we get down, you know, they're coming back and forth and they're talking to different people and neighbors, and the neighbors are complaining about what the builder hasn't done, how the builder hasn't honored their warranty or hasn't fixed this, and how, you know, the property just isn't what they thought. And so, you know, that, of course, sparked us to contact. Well, I said, I'm going to contact the construction manager and the sales manager, let's have a meeting with them and make sure they understand. This was before they actually started building. Let's make sure we share our concerns and get some assurances that things will be better, that certain things would be taken care of. So long story short, we had that meeting. They start building the house. And, you know, I always recommend that my buyers get a home inspection done independently of, you know, what the on new construction and independent of this county inspectors, because I think that they just ride up, say, OK, yep. And, you know, check the box. I don't know that they're really inspecting those homes like they should. But anyway, so got a private inspection done, noticed several things that were wrong. But the major thing was the roof. The roof was not installed properly. And you would think on new construction that your roof is fine. Well, nope, not in this case. So had a roof inspector come out, confirmed it needed to be installed a different way. So we had to once again meet with all the powers to be. And at this point, we're thinking we're just going to terminate. But we have quite a significant investment on the table. And so they said, okay, sure, we will replace your roof after about three different levels of management. And so we said, great. Now, I didn't mention this was like a week before we were supposed to close. So they agreed to do the roof. And then my client is going by every day at this point because he's like checking on what they should be doing because they are in an apartment and ready to move. So he pulls up and he's like, the day that they're supposed to be doing the roof, he's like, nobody's here doing the roof. But yet the builder's telling me, oh, they're working on it now. They took off the roof of someone else's home and replaced it, gave someone else a new roof. In fact, it was the model home that people had purchased and lived in. So my client said, well, they're replacing the roof at the model home, but not on my home. So a few days before closing, they agree to do a new roof, but they put a new roof on someone else's house. So needless to say, we were delayed because they had to fix it. So and give my clients their new roof. So, yeah.
So what kind of did they find anything giant after closing your clients, or did they wind up with a better situation?
They haven't found anything giant, but they have found, you know, kind of normal new construction issues. But that roof, the new roof,
that was not leak. Normal.
No, that wasn't normal. And it did leak too. The new roof leaked too. Yeah. So they've had to fix a few issues with the roof since closing. But yeah, I never met a builder I know that builder was very upset because they had to pay what? That was one wrong roof, then, you know, that they already had to take off. Then they replaced the wrong roof on someone else's house and still had to do ours. So a lot of money went out on that.
But they need a better subcontractor for roofing then. It's got nothing to do with the buyer and you, the amazing realtor. So I'm curious, do you bring buyers to that builder now or do you caveat them before you head over there?
Well, let me just say this. I share the experience. And if they want to do that and they want to go through and potentially risk having the same experience, then of course I'm going to do what my client says, but I definitely share the experience.
So that's what a professional does, guys. You have to take note of a couple of things that Janaea says here. So first of all, I have to point out, you're like, I mean, I see naked people, no big deal. That was hilarious. Everybody in this business sees naked people and you just kind of brush it off. Love that. So anyway, back to the roofing story. So first of all, if you're buying a house, new construction, friends, it's tempting to say, I don't need an agent. I'm just buying a house. The builder won't screw me over. Well, you have to remember, houses are built by humans and builders don't intend to screw people. But because houses are built by humans, they're going to deal with you one time. They have no incentive to make you super happy. Your realtor does because a professional like Janaea is going to protect her reputation with you and with the rest of the marketplace. She's not going to get tangled up and not do a great job. So yes, you want a realtor. And then there were neighbors fussing. Now we see this with, I won't name any builders and you don't do it either because there's no point in it. But when you go to a new construction neighborhood, the neighbors have made their own yard signs that says, don't buy here. It's time for a conversation. And so that's when you have to make that adult decision. Do you want to buy here or not? If you do, you better have a professional in your corner who's going to call the meeting. Because I would guess that the reason your clients haven't had a lot of stuff beyond the normal, I'm sure, nail pops and an adjustment on heat and air and this stuff, they probably paid a little bit better attention to your client's house because you did call it out at the beginning. So they knew somebody was watching. And friends, it's not malicious intent. It's when you pay attention to things, you get a better result. And that's why you want a realtor who knows how to get people to pay attention. And then, of course, situation with the roof. We know it's inconvenient. We have been in this situation a lot, and every realtor who's been in this for a while does. It sucks to have your timeline changed. We know you want to get moved. We know you want to get out of the apartment. Our job sometimes is to tell you to be uncomfortable for a few more days, because if you don't do it before closing, getting it to happen is a nightmare, because that's when the model gets a new roof and not your house. But also, friends, it's one more reason to not put every bit of responsibility on other people. And I know that you're seeing this, I'm going to guess, as well, especially with our millennial clients. They want us to handle everything. And I'm glad to be concierge and do as much work as I can for my clients. But at a certain point, y'all, you have to do what Janaea's client did and go drive by the house yourself. You've got to do a little bit of the work. We're a team, right? So we're working together. If he hadn't been driving by, it might have been discovered, yes, in two more days, but it's a process that your professional realtor brings so much value to you. Now, by the way, if you're hiring a realtor and you're building a house from scratch, it's a fair question. I ask them, do you have any experience with new construction? And if they say no, it doesn't mean fire them. It means ask them who their mentor is. Who's your broker? Is somebody there to help you learn with me? Because we all learn for the first time somehow. And hopefully you don't learn with a roof that's out of control a year from now, because man alive, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know how many times that particular buyer has sent you friends and neighbors and colleagues to be your, for them to have your representation as their professional realtor.
Several. And actually, one of the husband in that scenario is one of those who is interested in becoming a realtor. So.
Well, but now he knows he can learn from you, and he can learn what you did that protected him that his neighbors may not have had, because they were either unrepresented or represented at a level that's not as high as they could have had if they'd chosen an education junkie. Is that a nice way to say it?
Yep. Perfect.
Hey, Janaea, if somebody's looking for an amazing professional realtor in the greater Atlanta market, but friends, she's not available herself. She can't marry you two. She's already married one time, but they want a house, or they want a professional expert to guide them in any of those wonderful suburbs and counties. How can they find you?
So by my name, I do everything with Janaea Kennedy. It's such a unique first name. So luckily I don't compete with many. So Janaea Kennedy, Lord, I can't even say my own name. Janaea Kennedy.
Like presidential and stuff. Think presidential.
Right. Kennedy. Everywhere. So social media, my website, my email address is Janaea@JaneaKennedy.com. So just by my name, Janaea Kennedy.
And because y'all are sitting there thinking, but is it going to really be spelled like it sounds? I promise y'all it is. It's a really easy name, but it's in the show notes anyway, because Janaea and I are not silly, foolish people. We have been in this long enough to know y'all don't write things down till you need it. It's all right. When you found this and needed it, she's right there in the show notes. Reach out, get to know her, ask her about her life and real estate in Atlanta. And then maybe one day, if you're lucky, when she sells that house on an acre, you can get first dibs on that cul-de-sac house when she and her husband do something different. And Mr. Kennedy, this is your third invitation to come on the show. And look, I'm so serious, I'm shaking both of my pairs of reading glasses. I love to hear from the people who get to support amazing realtors, because that's a special job in and of itself. But I appreciate you. You know how much I appreciate you. I love learning more about how you serve, and you've done an amazing job leading your colleagues this year. I hear it from people who don't even say it to you, probably, because sometimes we never hear it from the people who say it, but you hear it third party. So you're very loved, respected, and awesome. I hope that we get to see more of you in the future. And I got to find out how to make you a producer. It's going to be my new job. So I'll be your manager.
Awesome. Awesome.
All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe for more. And otherwise, we'll see you next time on Crazy Shit in Real Estate.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.